Oh, what a week for the markets. We can breathe a little bit on this Friday. The markets finished up, but it was really a rough week. The S&P, I mean, just brutal. Everything in the green today. What does it mean? The smartest guy I know, hope Dave Spano's not listening, is the chief economist at Annex Wealth Management. He is Brian Jacobson. Hey, Brian, thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, it's an honor. You are way too kind.
Hey, let's talk about the tariff whiplash. I want your perspective as a guy who studies this stuff. It's one thing if we know the tariffs are going to be imposed and then it makes sense that the economy goes down. It's another thing, I guess, if we know that there's going to be relief and the markets like that and they go up. But yesterday, something weird happened. The pattern kind of reversed itself. And Donald Trump yesterday said, we're going to give some relief to Canada and Mexico. And the markets then went down. Is this part of tariff whiplash? How would you evaluate what's happening with the tariff situation and how it relates to the markets?
Well, it's a great question, and that was a little perplexing as to why the market didn't have a type of relief rally when Donald Trump decided to give that kind of punt the deadline for when he's going to implement tariffs on Canada and Mexico until April 2nd. And I think it's mainly because of the details, right? He was very specific that this applies to goods that are USMCA compliant. So that just stands for the U.S.-Mexico-Canada trade agreement that he renegotiated back in 2018. And about 50% of the goods that come into the United States from Mexico are compliant with USMCA. And coming from Canada, it's maybe only 38% of them. So even though he gave some relief in terms of the tariffs, it wasn't as broad-based as what I think a lot of people were hoping, where it would just be kind of this blanket, all right, we're not going to have the tariffs. We'll just wait until April 2nd, do it then, have time to negotiate as far as what they're going to do in terms of immigration and drug trafficking. And so I think that's maybe why it was. People went in with some high hopes that it would be broad-based tariff relief, and it was a little bit too narrowly focused.
Brian, if the tariffs stay in place, I know you don't have a crystal ball, but if you look out based on your experience and knowledge, and they're still in place 3 months from now and prices are higher, is there any scenario where other factors lead the market to also lead higher? Are the tariffs a death knell for the market growing?
I don't think it's a death knell. A lot is going to depend on how businesses respond to it. You know, I was listening to last week, Walmart, when they reported their earnings, they were asked about what they're going to be doing in terms of tariffs. And they have already said that in order to keep them from having to raise prices on consumers, they're going to pressure their suppliers to try to eat some of that tariff. And so if they're successful, and they probably have the heft where they'll be able to do that, they can maintain their margins. But then you have other companies that are saying, well, we're going to try to push prices higher on consumers. We heard that this week from Target, Foot Locker, Best Buy, Abercrombie & Fitch, a number of companies that reported. So a lot, I think, depends upon how do the companies navigate this. It could create an environment where you have some that are going to probably be winners and others that are going to be losers, all depending upon how they're able to, you know, maintain their margins and maintain their market share during what could be a challenging environment.
Brian, the companies that do that now, even when things are changing so quickly, is that kind of taking advantage?
You know, I don't think so. I mean, it's just the reality, right? I mean, businesses, they're not charities. And if their costs go up, they're going to want to try to either negotiate with the suppliers to keep those costs lower or ask consumers to eat some of that. That feed through, that pass through in terms of tariffs is not 100%. It's kind of like if you think about when you go to the store, right? You see the sticker price on the shelf, but when you go to check out, they apply the sales tax, right? And so it's really no different except for how visible it is in terms of that tax. When something comes into the United States and if we apply a tariff, that is basically a sales tax on those imports. It's just a little different when you're out shopping and at the register, that's where they apply the sales tax to all goods that are being purchased instead of just targeting those foreign goods. So I wouldn't say that it's taking advantage. There is a concern that some companies might try to, you know, if our costs go up by 1%, we're going to push our prices up 2% because people aren't paying attention. That's the type of thing that I think people could maybe get a little upset about. But that's very difficult for businesses to do just because of the competition. And that's actually, I think, an important part to this is that if you eliminate foreign competition or weaken the foreign competition, that takes away that disciplining device. So it's kind of one of the costs of tariffs. It's not just the cost to consumers. It's also about what does it do longer term if you kind of insulate businesses a little bit too much from that foreign competition.
Annex Wealth Management's Brian Jacobson is with us. So I found it interesting yesterday when faced by reporters after he had just made a move to relieve some of the tariffs, that a question was asked of Donald Trump, did the markets have anything to do with this? And he said, I don't follow the markets. I don't make decisions based on the markets. The second part of the answer I understand. The first seems less than believable because during his first term, he talked a lot about the markets. The question is, what do CEOs and guys who run big funds and others in positions of power within the market think of a president making a question like, I don't follow the markets?
I think they look at it and say, sure you don't. You know, like, because he can say it, but is it indeed true? Now, there is a difference. So Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent, he said that really they're more focused on funding costs. So like the 10-year Treasury yield, that's maybe more of a focus because that's going to have bigger effects, especially in terms of the fiscal situation of the United States with interest on the debt. If they can get that interest rate down, that would be, you know, beneficial to the long-term fiscal sustainability of the United States. So maybe they're more focused on the bond market and with treasuries as opposed to the stock market. But I do suspect that he is very aware of the stock market, but the short-term gyrations, maybe he won't react to it. It is a way in which he can get almost a real-time reading of sentiment towards these policies, how the market reacts. But in a way, you know, he's more focused on that long game as far as, okay, this is short term, the volatility. That doesn't necessarily mean that it's a bad thing in the long term. At least that's probably his thinking on it.
Okay. And then today the jobs report was released. It said the U.S. added fewer jobs than economists had expected last month. How does that affect all of us and the markets?
Yeah, they added more jobs than I thought that they were going to because I was a little outside of the consensus in terms of what we might see. I thought that the number was going to be a little bit closer to 100,000. It was 151,000 for non-farm payrolls. We did see a reduction in federal employment by about 10,000. That is not yet showing the full effect of any of the government layoffs from the DOGE effect, right? So that Department of Government Efficiency, that will likely show up in the next payrolls report, if not future ones. So it was a little bit better, but it was a bit of a mess. When I was looking at the unemployment rate, it moved up a little bit to 4.1%. We then also saw a rather large increase in the number of people who are working multiple jobs. And part of that is you saw a decline in the average work week. So for people working full time, on average, maybe their hours were cut a little bit. And so they were beginning to supplement with trying to find a part-time job. So even though the headline number was still pretty good, I think when you dig into the details, it got a little bit worse the deeper you went.
Brian, I want to ask you about Walgreens. It is now going off the stock market. It's going to be privatized. It was once a Fortune 100 company on the Dow, taken off the Dow a couple of years ago. My father had so much stock. I mean, it helped me get through college. And it was like $30, $60, $90 a share. Now people are going to be getting just over $11 a share as it goes private. Are you shocked by this?
I was a little bit, although it has been on a slow and unfortunately somewhat steady decline over the years. They were purchased by a UK firm. So it's Walgreens Boots Alliance. So Boots is a UK firm. And it just seems like they got a little over their skis in terms of their expansion, real estate costs. We know that real estate costs, those can be a real killer for a lot of businesses. So it's a sad story. But do you remember a store like Woolworths? That used to be all over the place as well. And it just wasn't able to compete. It wasn't able to adapt. Walgreens, they had to face rather fierce competition from companies like Rite Aid, CVS, some online ones as well. And it just doesn't seem like they were able to adapt quick enough. So it'll be interesting to see if when they're bought at this price, if it actually goes through, it seems like it might, is whether or not they're going to be able to rejuvenate themselves.
1,200 stores are going to be closing. We're trying to see if any of them are in Wisconsin. Thank you for adding a little color to that.
Great perspective. Mm-hmm. Brian Jacobson, Annex Wealth Management's chief economist. Always good stuff, Brian. Thank you so much. We appreciate it. Have a great weekend.
Oh, thank you so much. You too.